My sermon title today is a simple question. How is your heart? How is your heart? Well, to ask that question, we must first know what the heart is. You know, the heart is a muscular organ. It resides in our chest. It pumps blood through the vessels of the circulatory system. And blood provides the body with oxygen and nutrients, as well as assists in the removal of metabolic wastes. In humans, the heart is located between the lungs in the middle compartment of the chest. The heart is divided into four chambers, the upper left and right atria and the lower left and right ventricles. Commonly, the right atrium and ventricle are referred to as the right heart and the left counterparts as the left heart. In a healthy heart, blood flows one way through the heart due to heart valves, which prevent backflow. Now, of course, there are a plethora of articles and books and encyclopedia and just many medical books that I could go on and on and on about the heart, the physical heart we have and how it functions. And I know that without going into all of the specifics, I think all of you realize that it is very important to each and every one of us. Without it, we don't function. Without it, we don't have life. But what happens when a heart becomes diseased? How do you know when it's happening? You know, the American Heart Association says that one out of three adult men have some form of heart disease. There's a lot of us in here that are adult men. That means a lot of us could have those problems, could be dealing with those issues. Today, brethren, I want to go over five symptoms of heart disease and how to recognize them. Now, we're not just going to talk about this, of course, on the physical side, but the real substance we're going to examine is the spiritual side. We are preparing for the Passover, and we are closely taking the time to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, to see where we're at in how we are looking at things. But could we be missing some of the symptoms of a spiritually diseased heart? Could we, brethren? Could we have a real issue of the heart and just overlooked its meaning in our lives? What is the right treatment, brethren, for a diseased heart? Well, the first symptom we can encounter in a diseased heart from the physical is chest pain. Now, this can be a fleeting thing that lasts just a few minutes, or it can last a few hours. It can be a heaviness or sometimes a sharp pain in your arms or back, and it can be a sign of something wrong, but we probably have those things, and we tend to think, oh, it's just a pulled muscle. I just overdid it yesterday. I was doing something strenuous, and I probably just pulled a muscle or something, and it'll go away. And so we overlook the symptom. We don't put much effort into thinking it might have an effect on our life, when it could be a sign that your blood vessels have narrowed because the blood isn't flowing correctly through you. And your heart now is constricting and having a hard time working to get the oxygen that your body needs. And you have that pain in your chest. This narrowing, which can be caused by plaque buildup, makes it more difficult for your heart to circulate oxygenated blood throughout your body. But what about the chest pain we feel in our heart when something is wrong in our spiritual lives? An ache that we can't put our finger on, but we know that there is something wrong with us. How do we fix that pain, brethren? Let's turn to Psalm 62. Psalm chapter 62. We're going to spend a lot of time in Psalms today. So much of that book that deals with the heart. Psalm chapter 62 and verse 8. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour your heart out before Him. God is a refuge for us. When we are struggling, brethren, to find a way to overcome the pain, we know that it's only God that can reach out that we can reach out to and find relief. Another verse you can write down, I'll just read it quickly for you. Psalm 147 and verse 3. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." When we have that pain, brethren, that pain that we don't know how to control, we don't know where it came from, we don't know maybe the cause of it, the only being that we can go to and ask for help and expect help is God. God is the one that heals us. There's only one source that can turn and can heal a diseased spiritual heart. Only God has the power, the wisdom, and the mercy to heal us when we are in pain. But we have to recognize the symptom and go to Him on our knees to ask Him to graft into us His Holy Spirit, that we need to change and seek His will. If we don't have God's Holy Spirit, brethren, whether the pain's there or not, if we're not building and growing in God's Spirit, if that Holy Spirit isn't existing in us, we have no chance of overcoming. We have no chance to change. The second symptom of a diseased heart, on a physical sense, is shortness of breath. I'm sure all of you have experienced that at some time or another. Maybe recently, maybe you went up a flight of stairs and got to the top and thought, didn't used to be this hard. And that shortness of breath where you've just felt like, man, I'm really out of shape. I'm going to have to do more things. I'm going to have to get up off the couch a little more, and I'm going to have to find time to walk and go out and ride my bike and do whatever things to, you know, it's just that. That's all it is. I'm just a little out of shape. It's nothing else. And we overlook what the real symptom is from. We overlook that it could be from heart disease. Well, for our spiritual heart, that shortness of breath can come from many different things. Maybe the anxiety we feel in a certain situation that's triggered by a sin we have committed. And I know, brethren, we all know that we have all sinned, that we all have those things that we have to overcome, those things we have to change in our life. And I know that we have to be careful that we don't become discouraged and faint of heart because of a mistake that we've made. You know, mistakes that we make when we sin, they can go one of two ways. We can stop and recognize it and say, I messed up. Father, forgive me. Have a humble attitude and go to God and ask for His forgiveness. Repentant. That's what repentance is. Or we can look at it and say, well, it wasn't that bad, and I just kind of gloss over it, and, you know, I didn't mean to do it, and, you know, it'll be fine. See, it's all about the attitude, our heart. God talks so many times in the Bible about where our heart is, how we really look at things. Is it honest? Are we really doing it because we know it's right and we want to do it because it's God's way? Or is it just, well, it's just something to do. So I'm just going to kind of throw it out there and just do it. And there's nothing behind it. It's just words. There's no thought, no meaning, no confidence in doing it the right way or seeking to do it the right way. And we have to be careful with that. Let's turn to Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139 and verse 23. We see here in verse 23, beseeching God from David. As he says here in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Again, brethren, if we are to be examining ourselves, we are looking honestly with determination to find the cause of our symptom, then we must turn to God for His guidance and direction. Don't allow the discouragement to tear you down and give you a reason to quit. Because that's the simple out. That's where that human nature takes over. Well, you know, I'm tired. I got other reasons, and you know, I did it, and I'm discouraged about it, but I'm just going to go on. You see, brethren, we have to look deeper, honestly, into ourselves to know where that's coming from, and then change it. And that's the hard part. You know, as parents, sometimes we have to correct our children. It's not easy. You don't always want to do it. I think most of you don't always want to do it. You're not looking to just beat them, you know, just because you haven't in you know, 17 minutes. So it must be that time. But we do it because we understand that correction is necessary for them to learn, for them to grow, for them to understand, for them to develop the character that we want to see in them. They can't do it without that correction. If you think they can, well, go online sometime. Peruse YouTube videos of children that have not ever been corrected. Very scary thing. I saw one a couple weeks ago, and I'm telling you, it was... I couldn't understand how anyone could allow a 7 or 8 or 9 year old to do that. Screaming at their parents, swearing at their parents, telling their parents, I'm going to do whatever. I mean, they were completely gone. And I'm thinking, and the parent just sat there and allowed that. And that was showing the parent, from the parent, that's called showing them love? That's not showing them love. That's showing them you don't care. We have to care, brethren. And guess what? Our Father does too. He cares. He knows we stumble. He knows sometimes we trip up. But God will correct us at times. He will chasten us. And we have to be willing to look at that as a blessing. And I know that's hard. No one, I don't care what age you are, no one wants to be corrected. It hurts, right? It hurts. It's painful. You feel it all the way to your toes when somebody has to correct you because you messed up. The first reaction in most people is, no, I didn't. You're mistaken. I didn't do it. Well, maybe you did. And I'm pretty sure when God chastens us, when God corrects us, He knows. He knows what we did. Okay, we didn't hide it from Him. He knows what our actions are. He knows what we need to fix. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 8, verse 5. We can see a scripture that talks about this. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. We see here verse 5. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. You know it, brethren. You all know it in your heart that God will correct you. That there will be times when you need corrected. And it will come. And you have to be willing to accept it. How can we overcome this spiritual anxiety, this shortness of breath that is caused by sin that we must acknowledge and change in our lives? We have to do it, brethren, by turning to God. We have to realize where we've failed and where we need to change. The third symptom of a diseased heart is sweating. Sweating. You're sitting there in your easy chair, relaxing, and all of a sudden, for no reason, you're sweating. And you don't know why. Why am I sweating? Now, it's one thing. All of us understand the difference in that, which can be a cause or a sign or a symptom of heart disease. We all know what that is versus I'm outside, it's 90 degrees, I'm mowing the lawn, I'm trimming the hedge, whatever, and your sweat is pouring down your face, and you know what that's from. You know, you just ran 2 miles and you're tired and you're sweaty and you know that feeling. You know the difference. And sitting in a chair in a calm room and the temperature at normal temperature, and all of a sudden you start sweating. What is that? Well, that can be a symptom, brother. Now, to break out in a sweat because of a physical issue is one thing. But have you ever broke out in a sweat because of something you have done that you knew was wrong and you might have hurt somebody else? Oh, I'm telling you, that kind of sweat, that sends chills up my spine just thinking about it. Oh, I did something and I know I hurt somebody. And it's a feeling that you just don't know how to overcome. How do you get through that? Your heart trembles at the thought of the pain you've caused someone else because of a mistake, a lack of understanding. You didn't realize what the other person's feelings were and how this would affect them. The thought of it makes me sweat right now. Because, brethren, I know most of you in this room pretty well, and I know that you honestly want to show love for your brother. God tells us we have to. God instructs us. That is part of living His way of life. How can you have love one to another if you know that you've hurt them? And you, man, you know it's there. I mean, no matter how much you want to run from it, hide from it, act like it didn't happen, you know deep down it's there. In your heart, you know you've done it. What do you do? How do you overcome that? What does God say about it for us? Let's turn to Psalm 69. Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69. And we're going to read verses 19 and 20. Verse 19, "You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I have found none." When we have done something like this, brethren, it's on us. We can't stop and try and blame someone else for a hurt or a mistake that we've made. We have to own up to it, and we have to ask God for forgiveness and guidance to see our sins and to change. And sometimes, this is the hard part, sometimes we have to go to the person we offended and ask for their forgiveness and their mercy as well, because of the offense, because of the mistake we made. The mistake that, just you feel all the way down to your toes, the anxiety as you tremble and sweat and worry of how you've offended them. We should all feel that. It should be a natural response, not one we have to force, because we're trying to live God's way of life, right? I mean, isn't that what we're here for? Isn't that why we're here today? Because we truly want to change? We want to do it God's way? We want to follow His example? We want to be like Him? We have to, brethren. We can't allow our pride or trust in ourselves to think that we always know what is right. We must know that God's ways and ask for His guidance, His forgiveness, to walk wisely with Him, to overcome this spiritual symptom of the heart. Let's turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 25. Proverbs 28 and verse 25. "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." We have to understand the difference, brethren, between walking God's way and walking in our own way. We have to know that pride has to be put away, that we have to be willing to go to our brother and ask for forgiveness. Our fourth symptom of the heart, in a physical sense of a heart disease, the fourth symptom that we have sometimes and overlook is very simple: nausea. We're uncomfortable. We feel like, man, I must have ate something wrong. Okay, it's just it's something simple. I probably shouldn't have had those 27 chicken wings, sir. Or maybe that pitcher of beer, that third one I had, that might have done it. Maybe that's what made my stomach upset. Probably something like that. It's nothing big, it's simple, you know. And we overlook it. I know we all know what it feels like to be nauseous. The churning and discomfort in your stomach that can sometimes, I don't know, we don't understand where it comes from, but it can be a sign of heart disease. But what if I were to ask one of you, I want you to walk out in the hallway, completely undress, and walk back in the room. Now, I know for a lot of you, you're nauseous just thinking about it right now. You're like, oh man, please don't pick me. Pick me, don't pick me, don't look at me. Because that feeling, the thought of it, it just makes your stomach upset. It just turns it nuts. Now, I'm not saying there's not one or two you might embrace it, but we're not going to talk about that today. Barry. But I want us to see, brethren, that when we are in here, we're in this room, we're out in the hall, we're at home, we're at work, it doesn't matter where we are. God sees us as completely naked. He sees us. He knows every fault, every sin, every mistake we've made. There's nothing, not one iota, nothing that you can hide from Him. It's all out there. It's as if you're walking around naked everywhere you go because God sees it all. And you can't hide from it. Let's turn to Psalm 44 and verse 20. Psalm chapter 44. In verse 20, if we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. Nothing we can do or say can ever be hidden from God. He sees and knows all things. Let's turn to another passage in Psalms, chapter 69. Chapter 69, we were there a few minutes ago and read a couple verses. But I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter. Chapter 69. We see and hear the words from David. And when you read, we read through this passage starting in verse 1. You can feel the pain and the suffering that David is feeling here. The anguish in his words. I can imagine he even felt nauseous. I mean, I can, if this were me, I know I would. That maybe he even felt that when he was writing this. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Brethren, David clearly does not sound like he's happy. He's going through something that we can only imagine, the pain and the anguish that he was feeling. Yet, when we go through nauseous times where our heart feels like we have done something and we want to hide it and we can't because God sees us clearly, we have to remember this. We have to remember the promise from God that he is there for us, that he hears us, that he heals us, and that he is our Father. Another spiritual symptom of the heart we need to examine and overcome. Our fifth and final symptom is an irregular heartbeat. An irregular heartbeat. Now, for me, brethren, I can speak of this one from a personal level, because I've had an irregular heartbeat a couple times. More than a couple times, actually. But I went and had it checked out and found out that it was caused mostly by stress. Wasn't from heart disease, I hope, but it was an irregular heartbeat, and it was painful, and it was very uncomfortable while it lasts. And it can be a sign of something larger and a bigger problem if it's something that you're having in the physical side. It can be very trying and painful when you have to deal with it. And for me, because it was dealt and it was done basically by stress, of course what happens, it makes you more stressful, and then it does it again. And, you know, it got to a point where it was happening way too often. And it wasn't until I actually saw a doctor and the doctor explained to me what it was that I was able to kind of get a grasp on it and go to God and ask for his help. And for the most part, it's gone away. I don't have those issues like I used to. Sometimes it can be an on-again, off-again type of beating, that irregular heartbeat, that you may or may not recognize. And I think all of you understand that that's kind of the same way it is in our spiritual lives, isn't it? In our spiritual heart, I mean, we're kind of on-again, off-again. One point we are... Man, we are at it. We are studying, we are praying, we are staying close to God, we are doing everything right. And then something happens and we slip back, and then pretty soon our study and prayer is irregular. It just happens once in a while. It's like, well, I meant to do it more, but you know, something came up. I had to work. I had to do this. Something happened, and what should be a regular occurrence now becomes an irregular occurrence. And we have to see that. We have to find ourselves again, and we have to learn to pray and study and meditate and fast and fix that pattern. Instead of our length of time spending with God becoming shorter, we have to find a way to make it longer. We stumble and our sins become more frequent until we finally realize we have to stop. We have to change and get that regular heartbeat, that regular contact with God once again. So I pointed out several symptoms of diseased spiritual heart, and we've touched on a few things today that we know will help correct the problem. So where do we start? Where do we start, brethren, to fix a spiritual heart? Well, it's easy and it's not. The first thing we have to do is we have to admit it. We have to admit we have a problem. We have to admit that there's something there we need to change. We have to admit that we've made a mistake, that we have issues, that we have problems that we need to overcome. God already knows what's there, but we have to be willing to admit our mistakes, our sins, and our foolishness in thinking that we can keep it from God. We can't hide anything from Him. God knows all our sins. And we cannot heal ourselves on our own. All we can do is go to God and ask for His help. It has to come from Him. We cannot be healed in our heart without knowing, hearing, and studying the Word of God. God tells us clearly what He wants from us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. We need to know and follow the will and the ways of God daily, brethren. It's not something we do on an irregular basis. It's something we do continually on a daily basis. To go to God, to ask Him for His assistance. Turn back to Psalm 51 in verse 10. Psalm 51. Just a couple more verses here. Psalm 51 in verse 10. Familiar verse we all have read before. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We must live a certain way to have Christ in us, brethren. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 13. Christ must be living in us. We need His guidance. We need God working in us if we are to overcome a diseased heart. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Brethren, we have been given a promise from our Father of a great future as first fruits. If we can humble ourselves through repentance, it is one of the hardest things for us to do because of that hard-hearted, diseased pump that beats in our chest. The spiritual heart must be humble, tender, patient, and most of all, healthy if we are to be part of God's family. For the last scripture, if you'll turn to 1 John 3 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Take the time, brother, in the next few weeks. Look honestly at the symptoms. See if there might be something in your heart that you need to be healed. Go to your Father and ask for the strength to change, to overcome. Hopefully we can all learn to be faithful, to be a part of the family of God.